Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a pre-party Monday happier happy hour. And Dom, I'm happy to announce we've been joined by a colleague in broadcast. He is Rick Smith, friend of the working man, friend of the Devil's Advocates. Rick, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates, man. How you been?
Mike, Dom, great to see you guys again.
Hey, you too, Rick. Thanks for coming around, man.
Anytime, brother.
Rick, you do your show each and every night. We play it here on the Civic Media between 8 and 10 p.m. Central Time. And it's a very union-friendly product. Rick, I got to ask you, what's been your reaction to the UAW strike? This thing is kind of grown and mutated, and it keeps moving. And I think union might be winning right now. But what's your opinion, Rick? You've been watching closer.
Well, I've been to the picket lines. We're going to be going back again this weekend to Toledo and to Michigan to visit the people on the picket line. Because as we've been talking about on our program, I want this to be Adopt a Striker Month. In fact, every month should be Adopt a Striker Month. But get out there on the picket line, walk with a person on strike, talk to them, find out from them, not what's being spun in the corporate-controlled mainstream media, but what the workers are actually saying. And look, I'm thrilled to see working people come together. You know, you framed it as I'm a big supporter of unions. No, I'm a big supporter of workers. I'm a supporter of people coming together and saying, you know, we earn a fair share of the wealth that our labor creates and demanding it like I've never seen in my lifetime. And so it's an exciting period of time. It's a scary time, but we could be rebuilding what our grandparents built, which is the most prosperous working class in the history of civilization.
And Rick Smith, we saw President Joe Biden standing on the picket line with labor. That's somewhat unprecedented for a U.S. president.
Well, it's never happened before, and it shows that Joe Biden is a guy who is on the side of working people. He not only talks the talk, but clearly walked the walk. And look, I slept on your Capitol floor back in 2011 during the uprising. And I remember Barack Obama saying as campaign Obama, when there's strikes and there's, you know, people in the streets, I'm going to put on those comfortable shoes and I'm going to march with them. Well, Joe Biden must have found those comfortable shoes and he used them.
You know, Obama never did. And Rick, we've upgraded to a couch here in the Solidarity Realty Studios, man. So we got a place for you. Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We got a friend of ours. He is Rick Smith. You hear him right here on the Civic Media Network, 8 to 10 p.m. Central Time. Rick, what about the solidarity of the UAW workers and what impact do you think this has had, this sort of rolling strike, very strategic, very targeted? Is that your impression of what's going on?
Yeah, I think what they're using what the airline workers used, you know, back in the 90s, which was the chaos strikes, and said, look, you know, we're not going to tell you what we're doing. This is to disrupt your business. We don't want to do this. As I've said a million times on my show, a strike is the last arrow in the quiver. Nobody wants it. I've been on strike in my life. Other people I know have been, and nobody wins. But sometimes you're backed into a corner. Sometimes there's no other option but to go on strike to jumpstart the talks. And look how far they've come. If you remember at the beginning of this, hey, we don't have any more. We can't do any more, the big three said. And look, GM's conceded on making the battery plants part of the master agreement. They've upped the wages. There's talk of putting the COLA back by just about everyone. So they have moved, and I think there's more movement to come. Now, will the UAW get everything they want? No, but that's what negotiations are about. You say what you want, and you settle. what's happened too long in this country is, especially, you know, with labor and with Democrats, we talk about what we'll settle for as what we're talking about, instead of, you know, moving that goalpost way out there and saying, hey, this is my wish list, but I'll settle for a little bit less. And I think that's what Sean Fain's done. I got to give this guy credit. He is talking the right talk and the frames that I've been talking about for years. It's not red hat, blue hat, it's hard hat. It's about getting to work, getting paid for the work that you do, and being valued. And when he talks about the working class, he talks about it in those frames, just like we did back in October, going through Wisconsin and Iowa and other cities on our Working Class Heroes Tour.
Rick Smith, the big three, the automakers, they've also started firing UAW workers, or at least that's my understanding. Maybe they're non-union workers, but there has been, let's call it, retribution for these strikes, or, you know, claims of shutdowns have slowed down their process, whatever. It's a necessary evil. Does it make you worried for the workers that the automakers still have the power to fire?
Yeah. And they have the power to, you know, to do what Jim Cramer on, what is it, CNBC or whatever he does. He said, just move everything to Mexico. They can do that. But this is what comes back to worker solidarity. Me, as a person who drives a Jeep, if Stellantis moves that Jeep plant to Mexico, you'll never see me drive another Jeep. This is where working people have to be like my grandparents' generation, like our grandparents' generation, where we stuck together. We understood that I may not be on strike today, but my interest and your interests align. And if you do better, we're both going to do better. I think we're starting to think that way, maybe just a little bit in the working class again. And that's a good thing. Now, walking the picket line and talking to these people, yeah, they understand there's possible consequences coming. But they also understand that with robotics and AI and the future of electric vehicles and everything that's on the horizon, they think that this is the moment to take the stand. While they still have significant power with the company and they still have the ability to kind of influence what, understand, companies that made $250 billion in profit, massive stock buybacks, CEOs over the last 13 years have pocketed $1 billion. I mean, come on, there's money to be had. There's wealth there. The big three just don't want to share.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Rick Smith from the Rick Smith Show. You can find him on Twitter at Rick Smith Show. Rick, great to see you again. Always appreciate you coming around, man. You kind of started into my question. You know, as technology changes, artificial intelligence as it pertains to the SAG Actors Union, right? As electric vehicles as it pertains to, making vehicles here in the state, in this country, a lot less parts, you know, needed for EVs. And, you know, if you can use AI, that's a big thing. How much of this new, what I perceive as new union robust support on action is driven by changes in technology versus changes in the current economic cycle?
I think it all comes together. I think we're at a perfect storm moment. I think you had all the organizing that happened, you know, years ago with the Occupy Wall Street movement, the Home Defenders League during the collapse. You had this bottom-up kind of organizing, the 99% frame. And then you had that building on, you know, into the pandemic, you know, people being told that they're essential, they're frontline heroes, and they internalized that. They went to work, put themselves in danger, and they, look, I'm important. And look, you know, now with inflation going up and the you know, eggs being what they are, people are like, hey, we need to be able to put food on the table, keep a roof over our kids' head. So I think we're at a perfect storm moment. And, you know, in talking with the UAW workers, look, they're not Luddites. They understand that change is going to happen. They understand that it's inevitable that we're going to be moving in a certain direction. And I agree with them. You know, look, as a truck driver, I understand that at some point there's going to be automated trucks. The question is how do we navigate those waters? How do we ensure that it's safe? How do we ensure that the people who are going to be displaced are somewhat taken care of? Because look, as a truck driver, you know, when we were riding horses, you know, a lot of people lost their jobs. There's a transition. I want this to be the first transition where workers don't take it on the chin and the CEO class pockets all the gains. And we should be talking about that. And I think this is what the UAW strike is kind of bringing to the forefront, that there is going to be a just transition. And we're going to fight for it right now while we still have a little bit of power.
In the healthcare field as well, Kaiser Permanente, right? There's also strikes going on as well. Perhaps not driven, specifically by technology, but seemingly there seems to be momentum across many industries for people that are not only recognizing and appreciating their own worth, but demanding it from their employers.
Yeah, and also, you know, what I loved about what came out of the Kaiser Permanente temporary agreement is the internal education that's coming out of it, the job training. We're probably about the same age. I may be a little bit older, but I remember at the end of where you could get a job in the mailroom and work your way up and be trained to do this job and that job, where employers were training workers to do the next level jobs. We've gotten completely away from that. Employers are going, no, you and the education system on the taxpayer's dime, you fund it. This agreement does have some language and some money going towards internal education and advancement, which I think is huge. Because look, 85,000 people working for Kaiser Permanente across the country, they could easily start their own education system to educate their own members to keep them in-house.
Hey, Rick, I got to ask you some political questions, man. What do you think of the leadership in the House, or lack thereof? What do you think about the Republicans? We're going on 2 weeks. They got their own work stoppage.
Yeah. Look, have you noticed? Have you noticed them being gone?
Only in the news, man, right?
They weren't doing anything before. They're not doing anything now. And if they get another speaker, they're not going to do anything constructive for working people in the future. So I don't really care about this. What it shows, though, is how dysfunctional they are, and it shows the world how divided we are. And you were talking a moment ago in the last hour about one of your local politicians who filed legal paperwork that said one thing and came out and lied completely, about whatever the issue was. And it falls into what I've been talking about. The Republicans lie a little differently now. In the old days, there was a kernel of truth and they spun the truth, molded it, massaged it a little bit, if you will. Now it's just total BS. But, when they get into that room with that person wearing the robe and they put their hand on that book and they swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help them God, or perjury, going to jail, more of that. That stuff seems to be accurate. And I look at Giuliani and all his, the election's rigged, and hear all these fantastical stories of how it's rigged. But in court, none of that. So to me, it's interesting watching the game being played out. Where what they're telling us, the lies that they're telling us, bold-faced lies to our faces, don't really seem to pan out when they have to go under oath.
Never lie to us on the Rick Smith Show. Rick Smith, thank you so much for joining us here on The Devil's Advocates.
Anytime, guys. Appreciate it. Anytime.
Thank you, Rick. Appreciate it, man.
The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Love it when you join us. Call us anytime at 844-967-2789. Hell, just download the Civic Media app. Super cool. Get you all sorts of options. And all you do is press a button. It'll automatically call or text. Once again, that's the Civic Media app.
I want to thank our most recent guest, Rick Smith. He's still a friend. I'm thinking, recent friend? No, still a friend.
Oh, man. Oh, Rick's awesome, man.
Yeah, Rick Smith. Friend to labor, friend to the Devil's Advocates. That's the most important thing. And you can be a friend of ours. You can come to the party tomorrow. Today is the pre-party Monday edition. But the real party's tomorrow, Dom. And we're doing it on the airwaves, but we're doing it from the Jade Monkey. You can come and watch the live show, greatest radio show ever, I say, between 4 and 6 p.m., at the Jade Monkey Cocktail Lounge. That's on Cottage Grove Road in Madison. And we've got the outgoing Dane County Executive, our friend for a lot of years, Joe Parisi. We've got former state lawmaker, now appellate court judge, Chris Taylor. I hope she has higher aspirations, perhaps the Wisconsin Supreme Court, Dom. And the Democratic Party chair, great state of Wisconsin, Ben Wickler, joining us. He'll be in the hot seat 5:30. Tomorrow at the Jade Monkey. You should join us there. And I haven't seen a confirmation from Maggie Dawn yet, but I thought I saw that Anastasia is going to be at the party. So I take right, that as a good sign.
Yeah, right, right. If Anya's coming, then Maggie's got no producer in Waukesha, so she might be coming as well.
You should be at the party. You don't know what you're missing.
You.
The weather is going to be excellent tomorrow. It's going to be like pushing 60, sunny in the afternoon. Devil's Advocates will be partying. You can join us all night long. 844-967-2789. I'm glad I was actually singing that song in my head, which is sad to me that we share so much in common. Like,
come on, you're my work wife, man. I mean, that's how it is.
That's not even Commodores. That's just plain old Lionel Richie, right?
Ah, good stuff. Yes, that's Lionel on his own.
Dom, let's be careful before someone issues a gag order on the show.
Oh, you cannot shut me down. I will not be stopped.
Dominic, Judge Chutkin literally laughs in Trump lawyer's face during gag order hearing. The former president, he's been gagged. Bring out the gimp. U.S. District Judge Tanya Chutkin. I got to tell you, I'm taking a little glee in this one as well. U.S. District Judge Tanya Chutkin appeared to mock Trump attorney John Lauro on Monday during a hearing on whether she should impose a gag order on the former President Donald Trump. As described by Politico's Josh Kirstein, Lauro tried to argue that no new restrictions on Trump's ability to publicly discuss the criminal charges being leveled against him were needed on the grounds that the ones already put in place are working. They're working. According to Kirstein, Chutkin literally laughed in his face in response and said, "I have to take issue with you, Mr. Lauro." Oh, when a judge is laughing in your face,
and then gives you the, "I have to take issue with you, sir."
And then she goes through Trump's social media postings. She proceeded to go through some of Trump's incendiary social media posts that have been flagged by the government, including his now infamous call for the execution of Mark Milley. Is that a problem? Can I ask for people to be offed on social media, not get bothered by some judge? He is the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Dom. Chutkin also drew laughs from people in the courtroom when she referenced Trump's truthy social post referring to Washington, D.C. is filthy and crime-ridden, after Lauro informed the court that he had once served as an advisory neighborhood commissioner in the nation's capital. In the filthy and crime-ridden capital. You know, I'm going there next week, Dom.
It's going to get filthier and more crime-riddener. Riddener.
Well, I'm going to bring my criminal ass to D.C. I'm going there next Thursday. Traveling Wednesday. No. Traveling Tuesday.
Are you sure?
Broadcasting Wednesday and Thursday. All right. And then you and I, we're good for Friday. And then we got drinks with our Republican friend, formerly of the Ron Johnson administration.
All right. Also, CNN talking about this gag order as well. The order restricts Trump's ability to publicly target court personnel, potential witnesses, or the special counsel and his staff. The order does not impose restrictions on disparaging comments about Washington, D.C., or certain comments about the Justice Department at large, both of which the government requested. So, you know, the government didn't get everything. Of course, Trump, you know, he gets anything against him, it's a witch hunt. Here's what Tanya Chutkin, Judge Chutkin, had to say. "This is not about whether I like the language Mr. Trump uses. This is about language that presents a danger to the administration of justice. His presidential candidacy does not give him carte blanche to vilify public servants who are simply doing their jobs." Chutkin noted that any violation of her orders could result in sanctions. Trump will appeal Chutkin's orders. He said in a post on a social media website, all caps, "We'll appeal the gag order ruling, witch hunt. Chutkin, often the target of Trump's attacks, warned the former president the comments that he or his attorneys make could threaten the case. Quote, "Mr. Trump is a criminal defendant. He is facing 4 felony charges. He is under the supervision of the criminal justice system, and he must follow his conditions of release," Chutkin said Monday during the hearing. "He does not have the right to say and do exactly what he pleases. Do you agree with that?" she asked Trump attorney John Lauro, who responded, 100%. Yeah, You're listen, Trump, defendant Trump with 4 felony charges, 91 indictments. I mean, you're a criminal defendant. You are under the supervision of the criminal justice system. You must follow the terms and conditions of your release like every other accused felon.
Can't wait for that trial. I'm looking forward to that one. Really, that one and the one that could be televised, that one in Georgia. And hell, you know, while I'm in D.C. next week, Cheese Bro's going to trial in Georgia. The 23rd, that trial.
I know.
For Sidney Powell, the Kraken, and Kenneth Cheese Bro.
Bro, they're both scheduled
to go to trial October 23rd. Don't change that channel or the dates. More Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
And life was nothing but an awful song.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the pre-party Monday edition. The
I'm rolling through. That, man.
You know what that is?
No.
You know, that's R. Kelly. I'm playing it for what? Jim Jordan.
You can't play R. Kelly, man. What?
I am playing R. Kelly for speaker nominee Jim Jordan. He believes he can fly. He believes he can touch the sky. What's he need? 217, Dom? I understand the momentum is building as the opposition to Jim Jordan's speakership is falling. I'm not sure if this will be good politics for the Democratic Party, Dom. You know, it's never quite appropriate to play the R. Kelly on the radio anymore. But for Jim Jordan, what? I'm making this exception.
This one goes out to Jim Jordan.
This one goes a long distance dedication going out to speaker nominee Jim Jordan.
I mean, because this actually can hit in a couple of places, right? Obviously, I believe I can fly, but also, I mean, R. Kelly, you know, charged and convicted of sexual whatever's. And Jim Jordan, apparently, according to the reporting, turned an eye to the sexual abuse of players that he was coaching. So, I mean, good job.
It was a funny joke before you felt the need to explain it. You know, just letting it lay out there, Dom. You just couldn't let it ruminate. People would be like, what is it? Dominic, opposition to House GOP Speaker nominee Rep. Jim Jordan, Ohio, is crumbling as Republicans return to Washington for a House vote to try and officially elect him. 4 key lawmakers who signaled opposition to Jordan last week fell like spineless dominoes Monday, giving the Ohio Republican a significant boost ahead of his expected floor vote tomorrow, Dom. And I'm going to be partying because he's not going to get the numbers, I don't think. But I'm going to read on. Here's a quote from Rep. Chip Roy, Republican from Texas. My gut tells me we're somewhere south of 10. We're still being recalcitrant. I don't know that word.
Recalcitrant.
Yes, I would not use that conversationally. I got to be honest with you, Dom. It is a remarkable development after 13 days of turbulence in the House GOP. Would you say they're in disarray, Dom?
It seems they're in disarray.
Since the ouster of former Speaker Kevin McCarthy, which left many lawmakers and outside observers skeptical Republicans could coalesce around any candidate. Dom, consider me skeptical. And Jordan emerged as the conference nominee Friday, winning 124 votes. They need 217, don't they? On a second tally where Republicans were asked to vote yes if they'd support him on the floor, Jordan got 152 votes. He will not be the speaker, I'm telling you, Dom. He will not get the votes. That's my prediction.
Then, but I mean, I guess you got to do something sooner or later. So if they're going to, you know, not embrace Jim GYM Jordan, yeah, all right, then make it so. But then what? I mean, at least the last guy, he bowed out, right? He's like, nope, I'm not doing it. I'm not clear that Jim Jordan has that kind of mentality. Yes, we'll find out tomorrow if they can herd the cats enough to elect Jim Jordan as the Speaker of the House? Oh, my God, people. You got to be kidding me. 844-967-2789. Thus, Scalise was bad, man. Jordan?
I got a couple of quick texts, then we'll go to the phones. Here's right. One. Only B. Kelly, not R. Kelly. No D. Kelly. That's Dan Kelly. Can't spell Kelly without two L's.
Yeah, B. Kelly. Fancy Brian.
Here's another one coming from Wes in Middleton. If R. Kelly were a Republican politician, he'd still be in office. Look at Matt Gaetz.
No, come on. It's so sad because it's probably true.
Here's another one, Mark in the sack. I'd like to make GYM Jordan fly with Mel Brooks' Trap Thrower in the History of the World Part 1 without the shot, of course.
Of course. It's a kind of the Toss Voss thing going on.
Did any of Wisco's reps vote for Jim Jordan? Well, nobody's voted for him yet because they haven't actually brought up the gumption to vote because he may very well fail. But last time I counted the math, 5 of 6 Wisconsin Republicans, talking about the congressional Republicans, all excepting Fitzy, were in the Scalise camp. That was last week. And Fitzy, who's not always very strategic, but in this brief instance, realize, well, Scalise didn't have the votes. I'm not going to go out there and be a jackass and publicly support the guy hours before he withdraws his nomination. So I don't know if the other congressional Republicans from Wisconsin have learned the Fitzy lesson. But last I heard, they were all on the Scalise bandwagon. But I'm sure they'll all be spineless and vote for GYM Jordan.
Oh, these are the same folks that, wanted Ted Cruz, right, before over Donald Trump back then. And everyone eventually embraced Donald Trump. I mean, if Republicans can bring it to themselves to embrace Donald Trump. No, of course.
Because they've considered that as well, have they not?
That's not happening. But obviously, if they find it within themselves to, cast aside any concern about Trump, especially now, but even back before he won in 2016, certainly they have the mentality to embrace Jim Jordan. So, yes, I believe they will.
Tom from Grafton. Thanks for your call, Tom. What do you got for us?
Hey, Tom.
Hi, guys. Hi. Hey, I want to say I appreciate this. You had Rick on. I've been listening to his show for a year now, and it's really a good show. Yeah. I also had a question. I thought that this last Sunday, Lou is going to be back on the Racine Kenosha.
I know they got a meeting with Lou on Wednesday or Thursday, but more than that, I can't tell you for sure, Tom. But Lou's people are meeting with our people, and I think they're moving forward.
All right.
That sounds good. Yeah, I miss his show. He's really a nice guy, if you ever heard him.
There's also have you ever heard, I believe it's Don Rosenberg. Have you heard that name, Tom?
Yeah. Yes. Right. He was a good guy too.
Well, he's also going to be returning to the marketplace very, very soon. My understanding, Tom. So, a couple of local guys going to make good on WRJN, our Packers, Badgers, Bucks, Brewers flagship down there in Racine, Kenosha, Tom. Any other political thoughts? Cause I don't deal with the programming. I leave that for more important people.
Yeah. Oh, right. Well, it's interesting to see how things are going, and it's interesting to see how the court stuff is coming along. And I appreciate you guys giving an accurate portrayal of what is actually happening, and not just the fluff stuff like on the other networks.
I guarantee you this, Tom, we will not tell you something today and then put the exact opposite in a court filing tomorrow, like Wisconsin's legislative leaders. I'm talking to you, Voss, LeMahieu, and Kapinga. You untrustworthy trio.
It's so terrible. Just so terrible. If you didn't hear the first hour, the piece Molly Beck wrote up in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about the Wisconsin Republican leadership, lying to the Republicans and, of course, the rest of the state of Wisconsin about what was and what was not with Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf. Well, they say all sorts of things in public when they do the court filings, just like many Republicans ultimately do. It's an entirely different story. And I don't know, maybe they think their voters or their supporters aren't smart enough to both listen to what they say in the media, then also, read a court filing. But yes, those guys have been lying through their teeth about this entire thing from day one. Thank you for your call, Tom. We do appreciate
specifically
it.
Specifically the Megan Wolf thing, right?
Yes, yes. Specifically.
There's lots of stuff today. They're lying to us about, but they were caught lying through their teeth about Megan Wolf and the validity of her position.
They admitted it in the court filing. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. These guys should not go through another interview within the next several months. And hell, this should be brought up during their elective cycles as well. Because, hey, Kapinga, hey, LeMahieu, hey, boss, you said this to the American people. You said this to Wisconsin voters, but then you filed something entirely different, contrary 100% to the words that were coming out of your mouth at the time.
Were you lying to the people of Wisconsin then?
And
are you lying to the courts now?
Judge now, right, brother? 844-967-2789. Come on, Republicans, have some self-respect. Nick from Madison, you're up. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Nick.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, man.
I really think, I don't think Jim Jordan's going to get elected as the speaker.
I agree with you, Nick.
Because the Republicans are a clown car right now.
Well, I think that's a little generous.
Okay, I'm being...
Sorry to all of our clown car listeners.
Yeah. No, but it's just, first of all, I mean, for the first time in U.S. history, ejecting a speaker, I mean... For no good reason, really? I mean, that was just dumb.
Well, I'm waiting for you to ask me why the Democrats would do that, Nick.
What's that?
Well, Nikki Haley and many Republicans are trying to blame this on the Dems, Nick.
It is caused chaos.
Well, who caused the chaos, Nick? The Republicans or the Democrats?
The Republicans, the 8 Republicans.
Yeah,
join the Democrats to cause chaos.
Well, the Democrats would rather have their leader. Hang on, Nick. Hang on now. I mean, obviously, Hakeem Jeffries is the guy they want. I mean, why would they? Why would they?
Our guy's got more votes than either Jordan or Scalise.
Right. Why would? I mean, you can't put any of this on the Dems. In my opinion, Nick. Tell me if you think I'm wrong.
He'd like to think you're wrong.
Because here's why I think you're wrong is because, you know, right now there is no speaker, which means the House can't do anything. Okay.
Yes.
That's what makes me feel better than the prior, but please continue.
Oh, okay. Okay. And this could go on and on and on and on. And
well, okay, hang on. Let me interject. I know we're going to run out of time here in the segment. So if and I kind of agree with you. I get the sense that perhaps Jordan won't make the cut, won't get the votes. They're going to have the same kind of thing. If we go down the McCarthy path, you know, the Democrats have stood up, said, hey, you know, well, what about Hakeem Jeffries? I mean, it's just as much on the Republicans. Because Democrats will all say, okay, Hakeem Jeffries, and they need a handful of Republicans to go along. If they don't go along with it, is it the Republicans' fault or the Democrats' fault if they try to cut some sort of power-sharing deal or if they actually give the current pro tem speaker, you know, additional powers, temporary additional powers for 15 days at a time, something like that? How do you see this going forward? Who do you fault if it doesn't happen?
I think the second option you said would be a better thing. The speaker pro tem, give him power. That would be good, you know?
What if we bring Nancy Pelosi back? What do you think about that idea, Nick? At least she knows how to govern.
At least there's a speaker then, you know? Because here's the thing, guys. I mean, in my, you know, my job, I work with businesses and if the government shuts down, my company basically shuts down, you know, because, you know, we do government licenses, you know? So
you're sucking off the government teat, Nick.
Yeah.
Buddy,
the deep state.
I hope to see you at the Jade Monkey tomorrow, Nick. You've come out to a few of our live events, but, do you remember when we were in college in La Crosse, they used to have clown camp every summer. And to call this a clown car, this Republican GOP, this chaos that they've that they've created. And now they're going to put up Jim Jordan, who, you know, definitely deserves the R. Kelly song we're playing for him. You know, Clown Camp still exists. June 8th through 11th this summer at Viterbo University. It happened, brother. They're still doing Clown Camp. We would walk around campus. You'd wake up a little hungover, and there'd be people in full clown gear walking around the UW lacrosse campus. And occasionally, I'm sure they got in the car, Dom, and it was a better sight than this Republican Congress trying to govern our nation.
All those clowns at Viterbo coming to camp to govern than the current, and sorry to mock the professional clowns out there, the licensed clowns out there, these clowns in the Republican Party. Folks, with the Devil's Advocates coming back. One more segment for your chance to talk with us at 844-967-2789.
The Devil's Advocates. Sausage making never looked so good.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Our last segment of the day. If you have something to say, hit us up right now at 844-967-2789.
I don't believe Jim Jordan will ever become Speaker of the House. And have you seen his tactics?
Certainly shouldn't.
Over the weekend, Dom, have you seen the tactics being utilized? Let's just call them the strong-armed.
Well, you got a text from or an email from Sean Hannity asking, like, what are you going to do? Is that the tactic?
No, let me read a little from the reporting at the Raw story. One of my favorite sources, Dom, especially late in the show, Judiciary Chairman Jim Jordan is likening his fellow House Republicans to the mafia in his attempt to sway members of the GOP conference who continue to refuse to vote for him to become the next speaker. Let's see how this one works out, Dom. The principles that unite us as Republicans are far greater than the disagreements that divide us, Jordan wrote in a Dear Colleague letter to the House Republicans on Monday. He also used the letter to attack and demean the Democratic caucus and the differences between us and our Democrat colleagues vastly outweigh our internal divisions. The country and our conference cannot afford us attacking each other right now. It's time we unite them to get back to work on behalf of the American people. As Republicans, we are blessed to have an energetic conference comprised of members with varied backgrounds, experiences, and skills, just like the country we represent. We may not always agree on every issue, on every bill, and that's all right. We don't march in lockstep like our Democrat colleagues. This man has not passed a bill in his entire 16-year tenure in the House. What the hell is he talking about? We don't agree on every bill. What bill? What bill have you shepherded through, sir? A little bit more here, Dom. Mentioning his individual conversations with House Republicans, Jordan added, "We also discussed your thoughts on how we can best move forward, and we must move forward. The role of Speaker is to bring all Republicans together, and that's what not the country, not the House, just all Republicans together, and that's what I intend to do. We will make sure that there are more Republican voices involved in our major decisions beyond the five families." The five families? What, the Burrow family, Stem? Is he checking with Menendez from Jersey? What's he talking about? Dom,
it was Mazzini the whole time.
The five families is a reference to the mafia crime syndicate that operated in New York City, immortalized in books and films like the Godfather series. And CBS News confirms the allusion to the Godfather and the mafia, reporting there was a reference to the five groups in the GOP that hold the most power. Here are the five families, Dom. The House Freedom Caucus. The Republican Study Committee. The Republican Main Street Caucus. Be a shame if I had to break your Main Street window. The Republican Governance Group and the Problem Solvers Caucus, Dom. They don't seem quite like the five families. The Washington Post has noted, and yes, the phrase five families alludes to the five mafia families in The Godfather. Dom, estimates vary, but after fellow far-right Ohio Republican Mike Turner, the House Intelligence Committee chairman, who initially opposed Jordan's efforts to become Speaker, switched and endorsed him Monday, there remain few Republicans who refuse to vote for Jordan. The most likely path forward at this point, based on all available evidence, is that Jordan's very close to becoming the 56th Speaker of the House, according to Jake Sherman over at the Punchbowl News. I cannot believe that would be the case. How long do you think his tenure would last, Dom?
Before
a motion to vacate.
Yeah, if it's under the same rules, not long. It'd be more of the same. Greg Sargent, he does the plumb line over at the Washington Post. He retweeted out this, and I put it on the Devil's page, Devil's Advocates Twitter at Devil Radio. Here's what Sargent says: "It appears there's some confusion on here about Jim Jordan's role in Trump's insurrection plot. So let me leave these here for you." And it looks like he's quoting the January 6th committee's investigation. Quote, "Representative Jordan was a significant player in President Trump's efforts. He participated in numerous post-election meetings in which senior White House officials, Rudy Giuliani and others, discussed strategies for challenging the election, chief among them claims that the election had been tainted by fraud. On January 2nd, 2021, Representative Jordan led a conference call in which he, President Trump, and other members of Congress discussed strategies for delaying the January 6th joint session. During the call, the group also discussed issuing social media posts encouraging President Trump supporters to march to the Capitol on January 6th. An hour and a half later, President Trump and Representative Jordan spoke by phone for 18 minutes. The day before January 6th, Representative Jordan texted Mark Meadows, passing along advice that Vice President Pence should call out all the electoral votes that he believes are unconstitutional as no electoral votes at all. He spoke with President Trump by phone at least twice on January 6th, though he has provided inconsistent public statements about how many times they spoke and what they discussed. He also received 5 calls from Rudy Giuliani that evening, and the two connected at least twice at 7:33 and 7:49 p.m. During that time, Giuliani has testified he was attempting to reach members of Congress after the joint session resumed to encourage them to continue to objecting to Joe Biden's electoral votes. And in the days following January 6th, Representative Jordan spoke with White House staff about the prospect of presidential pardons for members of Congress." Again, this is from the Twitter feed of Greg Sargent with the Washington Post. And let us not also forget, Representative Jordan has not answered a lawful subpoena, and nor has he testified about, you know, things he knew during that time. So this guy, this insurrectionist, this guy is going to be the Speaker of the House, people.
Do you see Dan Crenshaw, Congressman, Republican, went on the CNN yesterday, State of the Union. "This is the dumbest way to support Jordan," Crenshaw said Sunday during an interview. "I'm supporting Jordan. I'm going to vote for Jordan. As someone who wants Jim Jordan, the dumbest thing you can do is to continue pissing off those people." The majority of House Republicans back Jordan, one of the founding members of the House Freedom Caucus, to become speaker during a secret ballot last week, right? But 55 members of his caucus were opposed to Jordan's nomination, far more than the handful he can afford to lose. And the Ohio Republican told Politico on Saturday that he wants to be able to go to the floor on Tuesday, giving him very little time to earn the support of those hesitant to back him. Here is one other statement from Crenshaw. "When I ask people, who are we taking that tact? I'm like, did that work on you when you were one of the 20 against McCarthy and everybody was bashing you? Everybody's got to grow up, get it together. If there's a difference, let's sort it out. We need to have cool heads prevail," he added.
And those cooler heads are going to be led by Jim Jordan? That's the coolest head that you have? I don't think so.
Hey, forget about it. Thank you for listening.
Never go against the five families, Dom.
You come to me on the date of my daughter's wedding, and we say, listen to the Devil's Advocates, and join us tomorrow at the Jade Monkey. Lots of friends, lots of guests coming by.
Who's coming by, Crudy?
Tomorrow at the Jade Monkey, we got Joe Parisi, Chris Taylor, Ben Wickler, and you partying with us. Thank you, Rick Smith, for joining us for the pre-party edition on a Monday. Stick around, man.